First Kings 18. To be obedient to the Lord this morning. That's number one. See, that's number one. See?
Number one.
We're going to go on a trip today, you and I. Is that all right? We're going to go on a trip this morning. I'm going to take you. We're going to go all the way back to Elijah. And we're going to put ourselves in that situation. Because if we don't, we'll miss what God wants to do. See? What do you want to do, God? The children of Israel had been under bondage for so long, they didn't know anything else. They had been under the rule of Ahab and Jezebel for quite some time. And they had no idea what was about to transpire and take place. But God did. Because there was a man named Elijah that said, I've had enough. Heretofore he had shouted out and said, we don't want rain anymore. Stop raining. And for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. Anybody ever see what happens with land with 3.5 years of drought? It's a terrible situation. One that even was made worse by Jezebel because she had her 450 prophets of Baal bragging and pontificating about the power of Baal and how Baal was going to overcome all of the shortcomings and all of the things, and Ahab and Jezebel were in rule. And so, after it didn't rain for a while, Ahab sent people everywhere in the known world to find Elijah. Said, we're gonna get this guy and we're gonna straighten things out. Yeah. And I'm just trying to give you a backstory so you could put yourself in this situation. So Obadiah was a good guy, and he was hiding the righteous prophets. He was hiding the believers in caves. Three of them, 50 apiece. He's hiding about 150 of them, and Ahab was hunting for that guy, Elijah. And so Elijah and Obadiah come in contact with each other. And Obadiah says to Elijah, are you the man of God? Is that you, Elijah? And he said, go tell Ahab I want to talk with him. And Obadiah says, hey, what are you trying to do, get me killed? Ahab has spies out everywhere hunting for you, and if he finds me and finds out what I'm doing, I'm going to die. And Ahab and that guy Elijah, he says, "You go find Ahab and you tell him I want to talk with him." And so Ahab comes and he says, "You troubler of Israel." And Elijah says, "I'll tell you what, man. You gather all the people of Israel at Mount Carmel, and I'll see you there, guy. I'll see you there." And so here we are, you and I. We're part of Israel, and we've been asked to go to the mountain. Now, we're in drought. We're in drought season, and everything is tossed to it. There's oppression. There's depression. There's all kinds of problems. There's all kinds of angst and worry, and Jezebel and Ahab have destroyed everything. And the prophets of Baal and Elijah get to Mount Carmel. In verse 20 it says, Ahab sent for all the children in 1 Kings 18. If I didn't tell you to turn there, shame on me. 1 Kings 18, it may be up. Yeah, it's up there. It's right there. Right there it is. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him. And the people didn't know what to say. I'm dressed okay, ain't I? My wife was gone, so I had to dress myself today. This is the fourth shirt I put on. So, tell everybody when you see her. Tell her when you see her. I did okay, okay? I didn't have to iron it, I don't think. People couldn't answer. We're standing there in this crowd and we couldn't answer because all we've ever known is oppression. All we've ever known is the Baals. All we've ever known is Jezebel and Ahab with their haughtiness and their pride and their, we can run things. Everything's torn apart. Everything's dying around us. There's death everywhere. And Elijah says, therefore, he says to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls. Let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Underline, no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you will call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, He is God. Yeah. Now I've just got to keep. I'm in the middle of this thing, and I'm there. I'm with you, Elijah. You're preaching good, man. You preach, and then the God that answers by we don't need fire. We need water. We don't need fire to burn anything up. It's already burned, man. All the grass is gone. We're in drought. The God that answers by fire. So all the people answered, it is well spoken. I don't know what they were thinking. Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many. Call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it. Someone said, that's a bunch of bull. And called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, oh, Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. You can see these prophets. You can see these dignified prophets of Baal jumping on the altar, crying out for Baal to answer. From morning till noon, finally Elijah had had enough. He didn't say anything. He let them have their time. Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is meditating, or he is busy, or he is on a journey, or perhaps he is sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances, until the blood gushed out on them. Now they're desperate. They're cutting. They're even jabbing themselves. They're slicing their skin open. Blood's gushing everywhere. Baal, we know you're real. Baal, God of the underworld, come and show Ahab and Jezebel and the gods of the... show, rain down on fire and burn this sacrifice. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. Can you imagine listening to this dribble? All this time, these people were standing at Mount Carmel in drought and waiting for an answer. No one answered. Look at verse 29. No one answered. No one paid attention. I could be reading the front page of the New York Times right now. Crying out to the gods of this age. Show yourself strong. Change things. No answer. But I digress. There we are. We're all standing there. It's been 7-8 hours of this sermon. I know we can only take about 30 minutes, but it's about 7 or 8 hours of this stuff. Come on, somebody. And then Elijah says, verse 30, "Come near to me." So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Israel shall be your name." Now, here we are. Israel's remembering now, maybe remembering something ancient, maybe remembering something grandma had said. And he said, "Oh yeah, the stones of Israel. Oh yeah, the altar of God. Yeah, Elijah, where you go, Elijah." Can almost hear him. "Yeah, I understand now." And then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, and laid it on the wood. I'm there, man. I'm there. I'm going, "Elijah, you are cool. You got this all laid out. You got the altar. You got the 12 stones. You got the wood. Yeah, man, it's time. And it hasn't rained. This wood is dry wood." How many know when you go to start a fire, you like dry wood? In fact, I've seen people set it out in your yard for a couple of years till it's nice and dry. So when you light a match, everybody's with him, man. Everybody's cheering him. "Elijah, you're cool, man. Yeah, you know, you got it. You got it. Now all you got to do is..." Somebody got a Bic? "And we'll help you out. We'll come up and..." Watch what he says. Turns to his servants and he says, "Fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood." Now you're going, this guy has lost his mind. "We're not with you anymore, Elijah. We thought you had it going on. The prophets of Baal just failed, man, and you're throwing water on wood? Come on, somebody. You're in there, and there's still a few people on Elijah's side, and they're saying, "Well, maybe the water didn't get on all the wood. He can kind of sneak underneath. God can sneak underneath and light the fire." And he turns to his servants again, and he says, "Do it again." Now, so far, this is 20 gallons of water in each water pot. "Do it again." And all the people were, you can hear the moans in the crowd. You and I are standing there going, "Man, this guy, see, you're on your own, Elijah. We may have the prophets of Baal back out here. Hey, you guys want to regroup and try it again? Because this guy's lost his mind." And a third time, he says, "Pour the water." The Bible says it wet, soaked the wood, filled the ditch. Come on, somebody. Wet. There's not a person there going, "Man, please don't do it, Elijah. Please don't call on God, because this is an impossible situation and you've made it more impossible. Don't do it." Can almost hear me go, "Don't do it, Elijah. Man, call for the prophets of Baal. They'll help you out." I mean, are you there? Come on. Am I saying something? Wouldn't you be in the crowd? You'd be going, "This guy's nuts. He's calling on a God that's going to do the..." Dude, you just ruined the whole thing. We could have done without the water. Good point. You want to preach this? Just about to get to that. Water was a precious commodity. Scholars say there was an artesian well near that they got the water from. And studying it, I found a well somewhere that they had been rationing the water. Elijah wasn't very good at rationing. I'll take all mine and yours, and we're pouring it on the altar. Then he does something. Watch what he does. And it came to pass in verse 36, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, that I have done all the things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Now you're hearing this prayer and you're standing there and you're going, oh God, man, I hope this, something's got to happen. Let's create a diversion. Something. You're right there. Have you ever felt for somebody that they're in a public place and they're just nervous or they fall apart and you're like, oh man, I wish I could do something to help them. Yeah. Have you ever been there? You say, oh man, why did you do that? Oh God, I want to help you. And then you hear this thing. Listen, you can hear it. You hear this, but off in the distance somewhere, man. And you look up, and there's this little spot, a speck of flame coming. It's coming down out of the heavens, man. Are you there? You're looking up. Everybody's looking up. Because it's quiet. It's quiet. There ain't nobody. And it gets bigger, and it's bigger. And this flame, this ball of fire, comes out of the sky. Comes out of the sky after 9-10 hours of drivel and blood and guts and yelling and drought and sweat and shame and embarrassment. The fire of God comes down out of the sky and burns the altar. Whoosh. And man, it hits that thing. The scripture says it burns everything. Burns the dust, the stone. Burns all the bull. The bull's no bull no more. Licks up the water in the ditch. And there wasn't to a man. There wasn't a person that didn't fall on their face. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. Now I want to know something. I just want to know. Would you be talking about anything else after that event?
No.
Because after that event, it rained. Elijah said, call Ahab because I hear an abundance of rain. First comes the fire, then comes the rain. Come on, somebody. And it's not a rain to put any fire out. Would you be telling anything anywhere else? Would you be talking about anything else? Would you be, you'd be sitting around your table going, man, do you remember 10 years later? Man, I was standing there, and I was quiet, and I've never heard that much quiet. It was a holy silence. My friend, you and I are standing in a world that's just done with all the Baals and all the idols and all the things and all the promises. It's a drought. Where are the Elijahs of God? Where are they? I submit to you they're in this room this morning. I submit to you they're here. You and I are the Elijahs of God. We need to call upon God for His fire. He is a God that answers by fire. John the Baptist, whenever he saw Jesus, he said, I baptize with you with water, but someone is coming whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. And he will come and baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. It's the God that answers by fire. So let's now get on our little time thing. Let's travel about 1,500 years into the future, shall we? Let's go there and let's go to Acts chapter 2. Turn to Acts chapter 2. We have 120 intrepid, beaten, tired people. Set the scene for you, which you probably already know, but I'll set it anyway. Jesus had appeared to many folks. It says that he appeared to over 500 at once. I can't imagine. Jesus saying, stay in Jerusalem until you're empowered from on high. And the flyers go out. We're having a prayer meeting. It's going to be at Three Glory Way in Jerusalem. Second floor. Go past the bathrooms in the main room. We'll be there. Come on, someone. Only 120 show up. The rest had something else to do. I'd like to be there, but I got something else to do. I'm believing Baal can answer. I'm believing the world can answer. I'm not excited about being there, but 120 decided they'd hang out. You talk about wet wood. It would have been enough for Jesus. And, you know, I thought about this a lot, and if it's okay, let me just, if I was Jesus, I'd have hung around for this date. I'd have went to heaven after the Holy Spirit came. So I could kind of guide things, you know. Okay, now let's all get together because the Holy Ghost is coming. Fire is getting ready to come out of the sky. Let's put ourselves in those disciples' places. Those 120. They had watched as their Lord was crucified. They watched him on a cross. It was 120. Most of them, or some of them, at least some of them, had to be at the Golgotha, and they looked. And Scripture says that his face was marred more than any man. Hollywood can't even do justice to what happened. Nobody's ever seen such a terrible sight. The scholars say his face was like hamburger meat. You couldn't make out if he was a woman or a man. Except when you look at his body, because he was completely naked on the cross, dead. First four pots of water. You followed the guy. He's fed you, part of the 5,000. You went out, stood in the desert, listened to him. He made sure you're taking care of the loaves and the fish, and he fed you. And man, he's there, and you're there. You're there at the cross, and he's dead. But he doesn't stay dead. You're mourning. The commute to work is long, buddy. You're thinking, I put all my eggs in that basket, and that basket's gone. And somebody says, hey, did you hear? Somebody saw Jesus. Nah, he's dead. No, man, they saw him over there. His disciples, he appeared to them in a closed room, and I heard he sat and ate with them. Nah, come on. Yeah, man, there's a large gathering of people that are gathering because they heard Jesus was in Galilee and they're all going there. Let's go. Let's take a day off work and hang out. Come on, somebody. Second four pots of water. Man, have you ever seen anybody risen from the dead? You ever watch somebody die and then talk to them after they rose from the dead? I haven't. Can you imagine that? Standing and talking to Jesus. Number one, I wouldn't be standing. I'd be on my face. You talk about PTSD. Come on, somebody. Now you're in shock. Hey, this thing. Oh, that's what he meant by 3 days and he'll rise again. That's what he was talking about. and you're just getting into this thing, and you hear he's gone. Say, hey man, let's go see Jesus again. You know, you can't, man. He left. Where'd he go? I don't know, but a cloud took him up. He's gone. What? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Are you there with me? Now, first you see him dead, then you see him alive, and then he's gone again. What's this, some kind of cruel game? Man, we're in drought. There is Rome is against, they killed our leader. They're against, we're hiding. Now, a bunch of people have heard that they're supposed to get together for a prayer meeting. Only 120 had the guts to do so because they're going to call them. So they're in this room. Third, four pots of water. Jesus is gone. They're in the room. They're going, wait for the power. I mean, I thought the power was in him. Are you there? You're praying. You're praying. You're praying with 119 other people. Shatta. You're just, oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Jesus, I hope you're listening. Jesus, I don't know where you went, but Jesus, I'm crying out. You told me to wait. Here I am. Rome's knocking at the door. The gladiator is the thing. Caesar, they're going to come. I know they're going to come and get us. And God, oh, please, please. And, oh, God. And then it gets quiet in the room. And you hear off in the distance. Somebody goes and looks out the window. And you hear that. And the scripture says, a mighty rushing wind. Turn, verse 2. Verse 2 there. And suddenly, say suddenly.
Suddenly.
There came a sound from heaven. As of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3. Then there appeared to them. What did the wind bring? The ball of fire. The ball of fire. And you're standing there and you're praying, and all of a sudden, whoosh, everybody's got a tongue of fire on their head. And you're looking and you're going, man, everybody's on fire. And then you feel the fire starting to burn on the top of your head, and it's burning inside of you. And something starts coming up inside of you. And it's burning. It burns up all the stuff in you. And the only thing that's coming out is pure God. God restoring to His church. The same fire that burned up the Elijah's sacrifice is burning everything within you. No dust, no wood, no sacrifice, only God. Created such a chaos that people came from everywhere. Did you hear that noise? Did you see that flame? Man, it was over there. Let's go over there. And some of the ones that could make the prayer meeting are running. What did I miss? Could you talk about anything else for the rest of your life? Could you say anything else for the rest of your life? I was in this room, and man, I was a nervous dude, man. Jesus died, and then he came back, and then he went to heaven. And I was there, and I was praying, and all of a sudden, the fire came and it burned everything within me. And now all I want to do is talk about Jesus. I sold everything. I came to Jerusalem. I transported my family. I want to tell you what happened on that day. In fact, I want you to have a fire. And there were torches of fire, 120, then 3,000 and 5,000. That's not a one-time happening. Today we celebrate the day of Pentecost. We celebrate that day. The birth of the church. So very important that Jesus said, don't go anywhere until you're endued with power. You all right? Can I go on just for a few minutes? Am I all right? Are you there? Now We're still in the upper room. We haven't gotten back into the time capsule yet. Turn to 1 Corinthians. And I don't care if it's up there or not. Get your Bibles and turn there. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Got your Bibles this morning. I'm going to wait for you because you need to see this in your Bible. Because there's not a person in this room that's not going to experience the fire of God. Not a person. It's your choice. You can either experience it now or experience it then. You're going to experience it then, whether you want to or not. Because in the entranceway to heaven is fire. Watch what it says. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, now if anyone builds on his foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? The fire of God right now, if you are a believer, is in you. And it's up to you what that fire does. Any potter knows. When you take a piece of clay and you form some image out of it, it's not complete until it's fired in the kiln. Matter of fact, when it's put in the kiln, it ain't that good looking. It's the clay thing. Brown. But man, when it's fired in the kiln, it comes out smooth, shiny. My wife loves pottery. We've got so much pottery, I don't want any more pottery, thank you. God wants to put the fire in us again. We live in a generation, folks, that are crying out. They don't even know what they're crying out for. They're cheering on the prophets of Baal. Oh, this is the right one. He's the Democrat that's going to change things. He's the Republican. She's the woman that's going to... Hey, he's going to... John mentioned, if you don't get it, if you haven't heard it yet, get on whatever device you have and listen to the bishop preaching at the wedding yesterday. He preached. You talk about an uncomfortable bunch of people. When the camera on the thing, they were uncomfortable. Because the Holy Ghost came on him. You know what he preached about? Fire. Preached on fire. Talking about love, and he said, love's like fire. Fire of God. When he said that, I felt the anointing listening to the thing. Mentioned the love. Yeah, he gets to this fire part, and it was like deer caught in the headlights. It went to Elton John, and Elton John was like, yeah. You know, and some of the other celebrities were like, what is that presence right now? It's coming, folks. The trained ear can hear it. We can't quite see it yet. It's like the size of a man's hand. It's like Elijah said to his prophet, to his servant, go and look, and I see a man's hand, a cloud like a man's hand. And he said, I hear the abundance of rain. He said, but the fire, it's coming. We can hear it. We can see it, and it's coming. NBC, ABC, CBS yesterday, I could see the reporters going, he's talking about the Creator. Yeah. Wait, this is about the prince and the princess? Man, it scanned over on Harry, and Harry was like, watch it. If you don't believe me, watch it. We need the fire of God, folks. This is a day of Pentecost. Celebration of the day of Pentecost. We need to fire. And you say, well, you prayed for me last week. You prayed for me. I just need to get my hands on you. We need to fire. We need God to bring the fire again. And the fire is visiting my house almost on a daily basis. The fire of God's visiting my house. My wife and I can't even sit and eat a decent meal anymore.
Hallelujah.
Seriously. I mean, we're both, you know, going our... Sometimes we just eat whatever's left over. You know, we make something on Sunday and then we eat leftovers till Wednesday. How many are there? We make a little bit more than we need so we can, you know. As long as I got peanut butter, I'm okay. But when I came in the house on Wednesday night, I came in from work and Terry was there and she had made this meal. And I got in and I set myself down on the table there and the power of God hit me. I was under the table. I could hear Terry saying, Rick, where'd you go? So she's in the kitchen. I'm on the floor, man, bawling my eyes out. We started to worship the Lord. She had to drag me out of there 6:15 to come over here. God is visiting us in such a powerful way. You know why? Because we absolutely have to have revival. We absolutely have to have revival. Some of you are thinking, it's 12:15, man. Shut up, I want to go. We absolutely have to have revival. And you absolutely have to have revival for what's coming. The only way we're going to be able to stand against it is through His Holy Spirit. It's the only way. We'll either buy the lie or buy the truth. He is a God that answers by fire. And when His fire comes, it takes away all the problems. It burns away all the problems. It burns away the dust and the rocks and the things. And it burns all. The only thing that's going to be left is you and God. Only thing. Not magic. It's God. He wants to answer by fire. And this generation is waiting. They're waiting for people to be flames of fire again. Back in the upper room, you're one of the 120, you're leaving, and there's a sign on the door that says, Remedial Evangelism Classes. Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, be there. There ain't nobody had to have any evangelism classes from that room. They left everybody that they knew, and most that didn't know them, heard about Jesus Christ, heard about Holy Spirit. There wasn't no remedial classes. There was no college. The College of Jerusalem. 3 years, and then we'll send you out. First year, minor prophets. Second year, major prophets. Third year, Jesus. We have been inundated with so much teaching. We'd vomit if we thought about all the CDs and the teachings and the things and the tapes. And we've heard Bible stories so many times, it's coming out of our ears. We need fire. We need God. We need the presence of a holy God to come once again and burn in His church. Let's catch fire and let the world come and watch us burn. I don't need any more information. Most people in this room have a master's degree in Christianity. Factual wise, experience wise, we're still in elementary school, man. God says, I want to burn myself in you. I want to burn myself in you. You've been baptized in water, you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I want to baptize you with fire. So I'm going to get my hands on you. I want to pray for you. It's okay. I just heard something this morning that I couldn't believe. And I had to check on my phone to prove it, but there are actually restaurants open till 4:00 today. They are. And Kroger is open today 24 hours. So 15, 20 minutes is not going to change things. Nobody's closing it. It's 12:12 by my... Just wanted to... I hope that puts your mind at rest, you know. Let's get a hold of God. Amen. You can hear it off in the distance. You can hear the fire. You can hear it. You can hear it.
Everybody's, there are people in here in this room right now this morning. They're saying, I doubt that God could touch me. I've been promised many times, and I ain't never felt His touch. Today's your day. Today's your day. Today's your day. God's going to touch you. I can hear people in here saying, man, it's just going to be another event. Man, a fire of God, and things aren't going to change. Today's your day. Things are going to change. This is a sovereign move of God. That God would even visit England, of all places, in a wedding that had all the prim and proper people. Fire! And there's... It's coming, folks. He is coming in power and majesty. If you absolutely have to go, I understand. Well, yeah, I understand. If you have to go, I understand. But stay and worship with us. Let me get my hands on you. I want to impart this. I got so much. I'm spilling out all over. I just want to do that. Impartation. Watch what God will do. He'll invade your home.
Yeah.
Yes, he will. Kathy, how are you feeling today?
Feeling good.
You healed?
I know I'm healed.
Kathy got touched. We had a prayer meeting at the house on Thursday. Whew, man, I'm feeling the presence of God. And she almost danced out my house. Spirit of God moved on Jody. She prayed for her, and it was all God. I mean, it was all God. Bodies will be healed today. Prayers will be answered. God's going to meet your needs today. If you could put that music on, Roger, I'm going to just start praying for people. Come up. Those of you who are feeling the presence of God right now, get up here. If you're feeling the presence of God, that's God. That's God. He wants to minister to you right now.